The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now my next guest in studio is a retired actuary and former president of the Society of Actuaries in Ireland. His name is Colm Fagan. And the reason I'm speaking with him is that he got first place in an international competition run by the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries for his proposal for a radically different approach to auto-enrolled pensions, one that he claims will double the pensions that workers can get under auto-enrolment, or, if you like, it could halve the cost of the same pension compared with the scheme that's envisaged in the bill. Colm, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Now, when you win a competition like the one you did at the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries, they went through your proposal with a fine tooth comb.
They did, yes.
So they knew you weren't chancing your arm.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So what exactly is the difference in your proposal with what is proposed in the bill?
Well, the scheme proposed in the bill, it envisages everyone having their own personal investment strategy and their own personal risk management profile.
So Colm Fagan is enrolled, auto-enrolled in this scheme, and he's got his own file, if you like.
Exactly.
This is Colm Fagan. He's age 22. He's given this much in every week or whatever it is, every month. And they look after that file and they mind it and they invest it and so on.
Yeah, and when I come to say, they'll say 60 or 55, they'll start moving it into safer investments for me. This will also.
So the idea is when you're 22, 23, they'll go for the best return they can find. There'll be an element of risk involved, but that's okay because you have plenty of time to recover. Yeah. And the swings and roundabouts of equities, you'll generally make it to pay in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So then come 55, 60, they say, oh, you better put it in the post office now because that's safe. Not a great return, but it's safe. Now, what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying I look at the whole scheme as a whole and we make use of the fact that contribution income will exceed benefit outgo for decades into the future. So you can give better value for members, double the value actually. Analogy I sometimes use is to compare the difference between the two schemes as different ways of bringing people from by sea from Dunleary to Howth. The bill puts everyone into small dinghies. My approach puts them all in a ferry where they don't have to worry about wind, waves or tides. They also get across Dublin Bay in half the time it would take in a dinghy. It's less exciting, of course, but no one is forcing them into the ferry. They can always take the dinghy if they really want excitement.
OK, so what's happening here is that under the present proposal, everyone will have their own file, their own fund, if you like, which will be, have to be managed.
Exactly.
In a bit like the dinghy is going to have to be paddled by somebody. So you've got loads of people paddling dinghies or, if you like, loads of people minding investments, whereas the ferry can have a relatively small number of crew managing the whole shebang. And this is what you're saying. All the money should go into a central fund managed by relatively few people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, where does the extra lift come in then at the end of the day?
It comes from a number of sources. One is that members stay in the scheme after they retire. They continue to enjoy the high returns and the low costs. The only difference between pre and post retirement is that members start drawing from their account after they retire instead of adding to it pre-retirement.
So they stay as part of this great fund, which is gathering in loads of money from all the auto enrollees. So they don't have to put it into some sort of bond, an annuity. And if they pop their clogs, they maybe lose their shirt. They lose everything they put in over life. Whereas if they've units in this fund, well, their family could inherit those units.
Exactly. It's just like a deposit account.
So your money is your money and it has increased over the years.
Yeah.
And it also means that as you get older, the fund generally is investing in low risk, high risk, medium risk, and so on. And it keeps doing that.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, that average will give you a very positive outcome.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So your calculation is it could be twice the value.
Exactly. And that has been confirmed that there was a group called the Pensions Council were asked to evaluate my proposal and they consulted an independent expert and he confirmed, in fact, he calculated it was more than double. 239% was the actual figure he came out with. I said around double or over double.
OK. Now, you've made it seem like an open and shut case. Why is the government persisting in the proposal and not accepting your proposal?
I suppose I don't know. I think it's partly fear of the unknown. quite unbelievably, what I'm proposing has never been done anywhere in the world. So, you know, I suppose that's why I won the award in London for it, because it is unique in the world. And it's only possible for auto-enrollment. It can't be done for ordinary pensions.
Why is that? Just explain that to me, why it can only be done for auto-enrollment.
Because what you're doing at times is you're saying that people have to buy in at more than market value at times, and they get out at maybe less than market value at times. The swings and the roundabouts all work out. It's taking our ferry is cutting through the waves of the ups and downs rather than riding the top of them. And you can have that in a semi-mandatory system because people are paying, you know, they're paying a few hundred quid every month or whatever into the scheme, and they're not going to be, they can't sort of say, oh, this month I'm not going to pay, next month I will pay.
Okay, so you've got a guaranteed income rolling in, and therefore you can do this kind of investment. Yeah. I mean, the National Treasury Management Team, they invest in, you know, high risk, low risk, medium risk, and, you know, the state is very happy that the average produces a very positive outcome. Yes, yes. So you're suggesting this. So it's everybody's money rolled into one big pot and invested in a selection of high, medium and low risk.
Exactly. And the great thing is, too, that you can smooth out the return so that every single month, everyone gets a nice rate of interest. I'm saying that it'll start off in the first month around 6% a year, say 0.5% a month. It might go up a little bit, down a little bit if markets go up.
But by and large, it'll be fairly constant. Then as you, if you got, you know, much older and you live till you're 95 or whatever, and you've stopped contributing, but if the fund, if the value of the units went up, you'd also benefit.
Exactly.
So in theory, your pension would keep pace with inflation.
Exactly. It should be more than keep pace.
More than keep pace.
Yes.
So the pension that you're getting 200 euros a week now, in 30 years' time, you'd be getting the equivalent of 200 euros a week. It would correct itself for inflation and perhaps do a bit better than that. We're at a situation now where the Pensions Council has recommended to Minister Humphreys to reject your proposal, and she accepted that recommendation. So what do you say to that?
Well, obviously, I was disappointed. And, you know, I suppose, you know, a lot of my friends say, Colin, you know, you've been beaten, just accept it. And I would, if there was only a small difference between my proposal and the proposal.
Like if you were offering a 10% uplift.
Exactly. But I'm talking about over 100%. And also offering the stability of deposit-like returns compared to, under the proposal in the bill, every second month, basically, people will lose money and they could drop by 10% in the space of a month, about once every 2 years on average. So, you know, the one is, yeah, the pensions are more than doubled under my proposal. And the reasons that they gave for rejecting my proposal were a bit flimsy, to be honest, because one of them was that, oh, it's never been done anywhere in the world.
Yeah, but then you'd never do anything innovative if that's the case. Now, I'll tell you what my worry is. My worry is that the cost of administering all these individual schemes will be horrendous. And I mean, obviously, there'll be pension companies who'll profit greatly by having loads of pension advisors and loads of pension investors who are looking at, you know, thousands and thousands of auto-enrolled schemes. And anyone who's made any of those investments, they know that a big whack might be taken out by the pension company. So I don't like the smell of that.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it's going to be extremely costly. They'll have to set up a whole plethora of unit-linked funds and each will have to have its own investment strategy. They'll have to set up systems to value every one of those funds on a daily basis because, remember, they fluctuate daily or weekly, and then to allocate the contributions to individuals at the right price on every day of that their money is. It's going to cost an absolute fortune to administer. It's modelled on a UK scheme which was introduced over nearly 20 years ago. And, you know, they just blew the cobwebs off that. And that's well over a decade in existence. And it's still running at a loss. It has accumulated losses of over €1 billion at the last balance sheet date. Now, the UK scheme has about 10 times the membership of the Irish scheme. So it's getting 10 times the revenue that the Irish scheme will get. But the cost of running the Irish scheme will be far more than 10% of the Irish scheme. So it could be a financial disaster. That is in contrast to my scheme, which will have just one deposit account.
Yeah, it strikes me that the logic of the scheme whereby there is a collective investment and collective security makes for massive sense. I mean, rules can be laid down for the nature of the investments and so on, and what is acceptable and what is not, and what the mix of low, medium and high risk should be. And, you know, you could have ethical investments, loads of rules, green investments, all of that will be laid down. But that gives great security to members of this auto-enrolment scheme if there is this sharing, if you like, of risk and uplift. But they're not going to do that.
Well, yeah, it is going to be an uphill task at this stage. But I do have confidence that our TDs and senators will do the right thing on that, because already quite a few of them, even on the government side, have started asking questions about the logic of what's proposed. For instance, Richard Bruton, he's now, as you know, a backbench TD, government TD, but his former senior minister. And he said, when speaking on the second stage, he says, the question of whether it makes sense to have the pension fund split into individual pension accounts with their own risk management profile and their own investment strategies has been raised. I am persuaded by the argument that for a fund like that proposed, which is to be managed centrally by the Auto Enrolment Board, there's a strong case for a policy to maximise the return to the fund. So, I mean, there's a government TD saying that. So I do think that, when it comes to the committee stage and to the next stage in the Dáil, that I think more people would have seen the logic of what I'm proposing.
Do you think kind of we're sleepwalking into this? I mean, on the face of it, auto enrolment seems like a great idea for workers who don't want to depend on the state pension in their old age in case, well, we know how challenged that system is going to be going forward. They don't want to rely on that. They would prefer to have their own private pension via this auto enrolment scheme. So there's kind of a welcome on the mat for it. But you're saying it is flawed.
It is flawed. I mean, it really, the idea is terrific, but the implementation is based on a very outmoded approach that doesn't take any account of the fact that this is special and you can get double the return, double the pensions for people and at low risk for the individuals.
Yeah. And there can be all sorts of systems whereby reserves would be accumulated that might not be put at risk in any given situation. Callum, I hope this gets more ventilation, because I'm greatly drawn to the offer that you have on the table for the government, but whether or not they'll take it up, or whether or not a sufficient number of TDs and senators will have the financial wit to understand what is being offered, that's an open question.
Yeah, except I think that the logic is actually compelling, because it is ridiculous to have all individual pots for everyone. Think of all of those dinghies in Dunleary Harbour setting out.
All setting out when a ferry would do the job. And you have no skin in the game?
No skin in the game.
No skin in the game. Colm Fagan, retired actuary, former president of the Society of Actuaries in Ireland. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.